Oh boy. This is a weird one. Hold on. We are on the roof. It is 10 degrees C. I don't have a coat, but I thought, hey, I'll wear my over-ear headphones on the roof. That way, I'll have my headphones and my ears won't get cold. Well, bunny, I forgot I was carrying my laptop. So now, me and my work laptop are on the roof. So I hope I don't forget it. I'm going to set it down here and hope it doesn't get rained on. And I guess we'll go ahead and start the show.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hey, I had pork noodles. LD Beth is having pork rice. And that means, of course, that I'm in calm. Calm is the commode chat. That's how you talk during the show. So if you want to hang out and talk, all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Then log into com, just launch com, C-O-M, press enter, and then press G for go to, and type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, press enter, and boom. We'll be hanging out with LD Beth and Tobe and X1, and all sorts of other cool people, Jeff, Maxim, all sorts of fun folks are in com, having a good time. Pork rice is not poor Christ, sorry. So, as I mentioned, as I was walking over here, I don't know if you heard me or not, but I am wearing my over-the-ear headphones with a microphone, so you do not get the windsock effect my beard usually provides. So I'm going to try and keep my head oriented so that the wind isn't causing too much distress. As I said, it's about 10 degrees. It's 11 degrees now, warming up outside the chiller tower that's across from me on the garage is billowing out lots of steam, lots of hot water over there. And it is drizzly and wet, really high humidity. All right. Anyway, enough of that. There is so much news. Sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I captured my news stories, but I forgot that I was going to the dentist. I had to get my permanent crown fixed. And that finished a little bit after one. And then I got back to my desk and I was like, what was I supposed to do? And I kept thinking about it until, what was it? I think I heard the Dubious Goals Committee, the Morse code. And I was like, oh yeah. So anyway, I blame the dentist. all right. So let's go ahead and get started. There's a bunch of news. Definitely worth covering. Let's see if I have that URL. / Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oops. Back. Oh, no. I had a bookmark pulled up. But I accidentally closed it. Here we go. Boom. Sorry, I don't have the short link for you because trying to pull it up almost screwed things up. So anyway, there is death and destruction today, and I will be sure to post on Mastodon the news that we missed yesterday. All right, so let's get started. First, three swimmers killed by massive wave at South Africa beach. Three swimmers were swept away by a rogue wave, a violent maritime phenomenon, and 17 others were seriously injured Saturday on a popular South African beach. There was a rogue wave that swept people out to sea. Three drowned and 17 were taken to hospital. Robert McKenzie, spokesman for the KwaZulu-Natal Province Emergency Services, told AFP. Excuse me. He said that one of the dead was a child of 7 or 8 years. The injured are in serious or critical condition. The Durban City Council said later that the three dead, including a teenager, had been swept out to sea by currents, adding that 35 rescue personnel were mobilized in this mass rescue effort. Medical personnel were also attending to the 100 people affected by the incident. The event occurred around 1700 local time at Bay of Plenty, one of the beaches of Durban, the third largest city in South Africa. So, ouch. Going swimming. Go swimming, and then you get whisked away. Rogue wave. I hadn't heard of that, but I don't live on an ocean, so maybe it's just something. In Thailand, 5 more bodies were found. If you weren't aware, you missed it yesterday, boat capsized. Rescuers have found one more survivor and recovered 5 bodies from a Thai warship that sank over the weekend in the Gulf of Thailand, Navy officials said, as hope faded for the 24 people still missing. The HTMS Hotel Tango Mike Sierra Sukhothai, a corvette in service for 35 years, sank on Sunday night in rough seas with 105 people on board. Officials have acknowledged that there were not enough life jackets for all aboard. Navy said in an earlier tally of 106 people on board was incorrect because one sailor failed to join the journey. I bet you he feels lucky and or guilty. According to these figures, 76 people have now been rescued, 5 have been found dead, and 24 are still unaccounted for. The most recent survivor, identified as Chananyu Kansria, was found floating in the sea at about 2 p.m. local time on Tuesday and was picked up by a passing cargo ship. According to the Navy's Rescue Coordination Center at Bangsapan in Prachop, Kirit province, near the scene of the accident, a Navy frigate was bringing him back to shore. So, really tragic stuff going on there. Tobes just got cold. No snow. Hey, Kanai, 88. Welcome. It's snowing like hell up here on the Olympic Peninsula in the northwestern Eastern area in general. I'm going to Minnesota. Hey, Jeff. I'm going to Minnesota on Thursday. So, fingers crossed. I'm going to record a show before I leave. And fingers crossed I am not trapped in a snowstorm. It's supposed to snow that morning. I'm supposed to arrive at like 2 in the afternoon. So, fingers crossed. In Burkina Faso, at least 8 dead. What? More death and destruction? Yeah, you better believe it. It is not news to me for nothing. Burkina Faso, at least 8 dead, including 6 civilians in 2 separate attacks. At least 2 Burkinabe soldiers and 6 civilians were killed Saturday in 2 separate attacks in northern and eastern Burkina Faso. The first attack took place near Borum in the northern province of Namantinga, where a team of defense and security forces on a mission hit an improvised explosive device. Fortunately, 2 soldiers were killed and 5 wounded who were evacuated for appropriate care. The second attack, also on Saturday, occurred in the village of Kokode on the Tindokogo-Bitau Road in the east-central part of the country near Ghana. Armed individuals intercepted a public transport bus, also causing casualties. Another security source said 6 civilians were killed by assailants who also robbed the bus passengers. So, very, very sad. Wild times there. A number that will trump all the other numbers that we talk about. 10,500 murders. Irmgard Fürchner, a Nazi typist, has been found guilty of complicity in 10,500 murders. A former secretary who worked for the commander of a Nazi concentration camp has been convicted of complicity in the murders of more than 10,500 people. Irmgard Fürchner, 97, was taken on as a teenage shorthand typist at Stutthof and worked there from 1943 to 1945. Fürchner, the first woman to be tried for Nazi crimes in decades, was given a 2-year suspended jail term. Although she was a civilian worker, the judge agreed she was fully aware of what was going on in the camp. Some 65,000 people are thought to have died in horrendous conditions at Stutthof, including Jewish prisoners, non-Jewish Poles, and captured Soviet soldiers. Fürchner was found guilty of aiding and abetting the murder of 10,505 people and complicity in the attempted murder of 5 others. She was only 18 or 19 at the time, and she was tried in a special juvenile court. Which, if you imagine, if you're 95, you're in a juvenile court, that's wild. anyway, it's, I don't know, I think it's interesting and worthwhile to popularize and talk about these trials for these 90, 100-year-old people, Nazis, because there are a bunch of neo-Nazis and Nazis running around in the U.S. and around the world today who that are kind of going unchallenged by a lot of folks because they're like, oh, those people were so long ago. And so I think it's important to recognize, hey, these people are still alive, these murderers, these people who survived these murderers. Anyway, shout out. Let's see. Packing, depacking, and no breaking. Deaths that matter for the big social international game are news deaths. all right. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. But kind of related, I put them together because crematoriums. I mean, they were a big business in the 40s. During the Holocaust, but they're overrun or overloaded in China right now because of COVID. Crematoriums in cities across China are straining to deal with an influx of bodies amid a widening COVID-19 outbreak, media reports said, as authorities scramble to install hospital beds and build fever screening clinics. Crematoriums in the city of Beijing, Chongqing, and Guangzhou told the AFP news agency on Tuesday that they were much busier than normal, one of the facilities reportedly running out of space. But the news agency said it was not possible to establish if the increase in deaths was related to COVID-19. Well, you should have put that in your headline, silly goose. In the capital, Beijing, security guards were seen patrolling the entrance of a designated COVID-19 crematorium, where more than a dozen vehicles were waiting to enter. Delays in entering the crematorium were obvious, the AFP said, the driver towards the front of the queue telling the news agency he had already waited several hours. In Chongqing, a city of 30 million, where authorities this week urged people with mild symptoms to go to work, one crematorium told AFP they ran out of space to keep bodies. When asked if the deaths were related to COVID-19, the staff told AFP to ask the leaders in charge, in quotes. So, very scary, very scary. Connor. Oh, Connor left. Well, anyway, glad you were here. All right. I like to keep an eye on comp, make sure everything's rolling along. Okay, so let's keep it a-moving, because there's a lot of stuff, and I can hear a train. That's a train that's carrying limestone from the quarry about a quarter mile away, half a mile away. Thousands are without power. Let's talk about earthquakes. Thousands are without power after earthquake in Northern California. That's right. Let's close this. A magnitude 6.4 earthquake shook parts of Northern California early Tuesday, jolting people awake. The U.S. Geological Survey said, and thousands were without power afterwards. No injuries were immediately reported after the quake, which occurred at 2:34 a.m. near Ferndale, a small community of about 213 miles northwest of San Francisco. And, speaking of earthquakes, your brain is ready for an earthquake. I hope so, because it's going to be time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. An earthquake of the mind every single goddamn day at 1930 UTC. That is right. 1930 UTC. Get out your Geiger counters. Get out your seismographs. And prepare yourself for the Dubious Goals Committee. All right. Another earthquake happened in West Texas. The fourth strongest earthquake in the Texas's history, struck 14 miles north of Midland last Friday evening in a sparsely populated section of the western part of the state. The earthquake was at 5:30 local time and at a magnitude of 5.4. No injuries or significant property damage was reported. I just thought it was wild. There were two earthquakes. Oh, look. Calm is fun first, so don't take things too seriously. Hey, welcome back, Tope. Quote of the day from X1. All right. So let's keep it a moving. There's so much news. News. Oh yeah. We can't forget about the death and destruction that happens in the US. Oh yeah. We were just talking about death and destruction around the world. Two dead in a murder-suicide in North Carolina law firm. That's right. Murder-suicide. Two men are dead following a murder-suicide at a North Carolina law firm. Police were called to the Riddle and Brantley law firm in Goldsboro at 4:15 p.m., where they found two men dead from gunshot wounds. Officials believe a client shot and killed an attorney at the firm when an argument escalated. He then shot himself. As yet, there's no official confirmation of what led to the dispute and subsequent violence. So, but, just something that came up on the notice here. And then a man who shot and killed his neighbors in a Canadian apartment complex was embroiled in a legal dispute with the building's board. According to court documents, the 73-year-old filed several lawsuits against the board that a judge later described as frivolous. The board of the building in Vaughan, Ontario, also took him to court in 2018 over alleged threatening behavior. Five people were killed, and another was injured in the shooting on Sunday. So, police said three of the victims were members of the complex's board, though they have not disclosed a motive. It's like, you get three guesses. I'm pretty sure we know what the motive is. Quote of the day from Kanai. Kanai 88 says, I'm so thankful that I have parents that are willing to help me by setting up a specially needs trust, which will be founded when they die, because there are several people like myself that don't have such nice parents. Oh, that's a lifelight helicopter banking hard towards the north. What is that? Northeast? Yeah. Sorry, I'm just watching the helicopter. Life flight helicopters are the air taxi or the air ambulances that exist in the county. Some of my friends work for the county and have told me that it's ridiculously expensive, tens of thousands of dollars anytime they fly out. And a lot of times, a lot of people end up destitute because they're out in the middle of nowhere and they have an emergency and then they get flown by a helicopter to save their life. And then, oh, wouldn't you know it, they can't really afford an $80,000 bill. Hey! And Kanai88 also includes, furthermore, I'm also thankful that I have a younger sister who is nice enough to give me the computer I have now. So that's awesome. Nice to have you around. Stug, hello, hello, welcome, welcome. And I'm happy nobody can see me right now. Man, Calm is bumping and jumping, and we've got about 8 minutes to go. So let's keep on bumping and jumping through the news. Let's talk about nuclear power. Nuclear. Kazatom Prom completes Trans-Caspian Uranium Delivery. What? Yeah. Kazakhstan's National Atomic Company said the delivery of uranium owned by Kazatom and by the Inkai joint venture has arrived at a Canadian port. The Trans-Caspian International Transport Route, TITR, was developed in 2018 to mitigate the risk should the usual primary route via St. Petersburg be unavailable. The alternative route was developed because of the port of St. Petersburg being temporarily unavailable to Class 7 nuclear material when the city was to host football matches as part of the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Wow. That's kind of cool that's why they came up with this plan, the World Cup. Way to go, Argentina, by the way. Football. Anyway, the route passes through Azerbaijan and Georgia, so shipments must meet the requirements of the transit authorities in those countries. Kazatomprom's shipments have continued to pass through St. Petersburg with no restrictions on its activities related to the supply of its products to customers worldwide. But earlier this year, Cameco, Kazatomprom's partner in the Inkai joint venture, had put deliveries of its share of Kazakh uranium on hold until an alternative route avoiding Russian railway lines or ports could be finalized. The shipment, which was dispatched at the end of September, according to information from Comico, is therefore the first of the Canadian company's share at Inkai's 2022 production. So, I thought that was kind of neat. And Belarus, second Belarus unit targets startup in first quarter of 2023. The second unit at the nuclear power plant in Belarus is now expected to be connected to the country's power system in the first 3 months of 2023, according to Energy Minister Viktor Kurenkovich. According to the Ministry of Energy, the Belarusian nuclear power plant is the most important project for the domestic energy sector. The second unit is 97% ready, and the scheduled commissioning works are now in progress. The power startup of the second unit and its connection to the power grid are scheduled for the first quarter of 2023. So, very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Hey, SCM. Welcome, welcome. I think nuclear power is very cool, and it seems to be getting the bump it needs from that fusion story. We're running out of time. We got about 5 minutes to go. So, RIP to Martin Duffy. He's the person that came up with primal screen therapy and was a felt keyboardist. He died at his home at age 55. Martin Duffy, who played... Oh, I thought this was about the primal screen therapy. Apparently there's a band called Primal Scream. Martin Duffy played keyboards for Primal Scream and Felt. I thought... this is how out of touch I am. I thought he developed something called a felt keyboard. I thought it was like a practice keyboard that was felted so you didn't make noise. And then I thought Primal Scream was Primal Scream Therapy. My bad, Martin Duffy. R.I.P. Fortnite has settled its child privacy and trickery claims. The maker of popular video game Fortnite has agreed to pay $520 million to resolve claims from U.S. regulators that violated child privacy laws and tricked users into making purchases. It also accused it of using privacy-invasive default settings. Epic Games blamed past designs. And get this, I don't believe this for a second, but they're quoted as saying, "No developer creates a game with the intention of ending up here," the company said. "We accepted this agreement because we want Epic to be at the forefront of consumer protection and provide the best experience for our players." Of course, as we all know, you can always tell a capitalist lying when their mouth is moving. The FTC said that the game, which matches strangers around the world for interactive battles, was aimed at children and teens, but despite that, its developers failed to comply with rules regarding parental consent, even after making changes to address internal and public concerns. So, we got that going on. We got about 3 minutes. Let's see, what's the last story we'll talk about? Oh, here we go. Will they stand? Will they actually face repercussions? I don't know. Big Oil is behind conspiracy to deceive public. First climate racketeering lawsuit says. Hey, look at this. 17% beer. That's grain wine. I would agree. It tastes like beer. Pours like oil. Yep. I've had those super strong beers like that before. It gets, they get a little weird. It's kind of like, this is like wine, but beer, but not barley wine. Anyway, the same racketeering legislation used to bring down mob bosses, motorcycle gangs, Marcus's in the Wind, etc., is to be tested against oil and coal companies who are accused of conspiring to deceive the public over the climate crisis. In an ambitious move, an attempt will be made to hold the fossil fuel industry accountable for decades of deception in a lawsuit being brought by communities in Puerto Rico that were devastated by Hurricane Maria in 2017. And really, that's all the time we got. I'm running out of gas. My hands have started to freeze up, and we're at the last minute. So enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope and everything else you hear on Anon Radio, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.